Welcome back to the Millennial Marriage Podcast.
Well, you did a whole song there this time.
Yeah, you know, I thought I'd spice it up. Not that Shway wasn't doing a great job, but I just like to come in with the swoop and really take it home.
You're coming in with a swoop. Do you want to explain what the swoop is?
No, I do not.
Okay, so we're just going to move on from
there. Okay, yep. Let's recap what happened last episode, Michael.
Well, last episode, as you recall, we're kind of building this tension with your family and you, right?
Me, and yes.
You, Jane, my beautiful wife over there.
Aw.
And you finally tell them that you're going to move out after the engagement. You and your family have this huge explosive interaction where you come home with a diamond ring on and they're worried you're going to move out, which is true. And what else happened?
I think we're just spending Christmas now with my family. It's very awkward because I've tried to just put duct tape over a leaking pipe.
Right.
Just to kind of fix the situation. You know, it's Christmas. Santa's coming. I want to open my gifts in peace.
That's not going to happen this year, Jane.
What are you talking about? Do we need to talk offline about this?
Well, I mean the year in which this happens.
Oh, okay. It's not happening. I thought you were already saying this Christmas. I tried to be so good, Michael, that you're already saying I'm not good this Christmas and I don't get presents and I can't do that, okay?
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. So back to this year. Yeah. My mom's very upset. I let her know our plans of moving in together now that we're engaged, which pretty much means I hate her and I never loved her as a mother.
Right. I think that's what all newly engaged women should expect from their mothers is basically
hostility.
Hostility, a lot of overarching, you know, resentment.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a diamond ring on your hand, I think that's just something most women should come to expect.
Right. And for all you listeners out there, we'd love to know what your experience was like, because I'm sure it's really similar and we can all bond with our experience. No happy times from parents.
Yes. Speaking of parents,
mm-hmm.
Let's get back and continue our story here. My mom is flying in from Nebraska during all of this tribulation, if you will.
Which she has no idea about yet.
Right. And so we're going to fill her in when she comes to the airport. So she comes 4 times a year, usually to Arizona, or I go there. We see each other 4 times a year. Always a happy experience when she comes out. Pick her up from the airport, and I fill her in a little bit about what's going on. And she knows a little bit because we talk, but she's not fully versed on what exactly is going on. She just kind of goes, okay, that's really strange. What's the plan? When is she going to move in? And I tell her, well, I really don't know when she's going to move in. She hasn't really told me. She has said that she's going to, and she's relayed to her family that she has, but no date has been set.
Right. And at the time, I'm kind of playing you and my family, kind of being in the middle here, trying to please you and saying, yeah, I'll move in. Here's all my summer clothes in the wintertime. And my mom was like, oh, good. She's not moving in because she's only moving her summer clothes.
And I know you're trying to play us both, but I felt the same thing as your mom did in that she's not moving in. She's only moving in her summer clothes. And I'm starting to get very frustrated because you're not committing to a date either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where your head's at, really. You're not telling me you don't want to move in. I believe you in that manner. I really believe you want to move in. It's just having to deal with actually severing the connection with your family's living arrangement.
Right. So when your mom comes around, she actually, you know, we spend some time with her. We go shopping with her. She gets us Christmas presents. Happy, happy time. But then we get back to your apartment and she really sits mostly me down with you there.
Well,
and
it starts because you're texting your family all day.
Right.
And they're mad at you. And we can tell that you're not the same. And usually you're very happy, go lucky, laughing. And you're very off while these shopping trips are going on. And you're saying, I want to move out. I want to move out. And it's just not progressing. We're just in this purgatory, if you will, of
right.
Nobody knows. And my mom and I are starting to get very frustrated because, like, are you moving in? That was the plan. It's getting to where we're thinking this is pretty ridiculous. You know, you're already not moved in. We're engaged. You got to tell your family what's what. Like, you have to just say, I'm going to move out.
Yeah.
And you, I think you just tell them, I'm going to move out, but you can't give them a date, or it's hard for you to do so. What are your thoughts on that? Because you're turning up the heat on them as well.
I'm turning up the heat, but not too much. I'm kind of slowly doing it, but I think I was doing it so slowly that it was out of their minds, mm-hmm. really. It wasn't something that they think was going to happen anytime soon. And listeners, as you know, my mom is not the easiest person when it comes to changing in her environment. She's not the most adaptive. It takes her some time. So then your mom sits me down that night after we had gone shopping, and she just gives her advice, saying that I just need to be straightforward. If this is really what I want, I need to be straightforward with my family. And she was really good about saying she understood where my mom was coming from, and that, you know, it sucks to be apart from your child, and she's understanding of that, but you got to let your little birdies fly.
You have all people to kind of be, and we've talked about this briefly, my mom is super attached to me, mm-hmm. and would literally kill little baby puppies for me if it meant that she could spend another minute with me, which at times can be a bit much, but it's always done in good. She's very connected.
Yeah.
And she understands the bond that a mother has with her child. Mm-hmm. And so for her to say that, you know, you've got to just let her know, you know, I'm a grown woman and I need to leave, I think was pretty, it was strange to hear from her when she would probably want me to live with her in some capacity, but, you know.
Right. But regardless, I appreciated her advice. She really cared. I think she knew she has some PTSD with seeing you go through some relationship problems before, and she just doesn't want a repetition of that. So her motherly, you know, mama bear side was coming out as well, I think, making sure that her son is not being hurt by this situation.
I think that, you know, as we've talked about before, I've gotten divorced and she's seen me in pain before, mm-hmm. and she could clearly see that this wasn't going well, mm-hmm. because it wasn't that our relationship was poor, but what was happening around it was really taxing our relationship, mm-hmm. because, I mean, at some point you got to make a choice, and it just kept moving on. And it's been a week now, 2 weeks since we've been engaged, mm-hmm. and it's just nothing's moving. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no progress.
Yep.
And it gets to the point where she talks with you, like we said, and it's pretty serious in nature. Like, you really have to choose. And mm-hmm. what we were both kind of saying to you was, it can't be me, Michael, the fiance, that says, you know, she's going to move out on Tuesday, mm-hmm. because then you're like being forced to move out. It's not what you want. Michael's making you do all this stuff.
Right. You would end up being the bad guy in my family's eyes.
And I didn't really want to get involved directly at all. Mm-hmm. And I was just telling you have to do this for yourself. If this is what you want, you need to tell them that and say, this is the date I'm going to move out. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you, you know, whatever day you tell them, they're going to be mad.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Tuesday, a month from now, or 6 months from now. They're not going to like any day that happens. So just say it's going to be in a week or 2 weeks, whatever you choose. And that's just the date it's going to be. And
in my mind, I'm like, no, like facing your fear, right? Having these tough conversations, which I'm never good at. Even if however much you prepare yourself in your head, you think you got the right things to say, it's never as good as what it is in your head. But I understood where everybody was coming from, and I knew that this needed to be done, because I thought that my realization was that it was hurting you, and I needed for once to stand up for us. Because for so long you've put up with a lot of strange dynamics, you know, with my sister, my mom, and it was just time for me to say, this is how it's going to be. Michael is now priority.
Right.
Whereas before, you know, maybe I didn't quite prioritize him as much as I should have, but now it's like, it's serious, and this is how it's going to be. This is what he and I both want. So to prepare for that, I'm just like I said, I guess you can't really prepare for that, especially when you know how your mother is with change.
Yeah, I remember you went home that night and you told her again, kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, I basically asked you, what day are you coming? What is the date? And you still weren't giving me a date. And so I'm telling my mom this, and you know how when like two people are mad and they have like time alone to talk about what they're mad about, and you just kind of go back and forth and you kind of build each other up and it starts shaking the bottle. Mm-hmm. And that was basically what was happening. It's like, why isn't she doing it? We talked last night. We had this great conversation. What is the deal? Why isn't this doing anything? And eventually it gets to the point where we're texting, because I remember it would be okay for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then it was bad. And they're mm-hmm. like, we're not talking about it anymore. And then all of a sudden, well, Margie's mad about it again. Mm-hmm. And then my mom would get pissed. It's like, who cares about Margie? Like, James has got to move out. And yeah. then it's like good for an hour. And then your mom's mad about it again. And yeah. it just kept going back and forth, back yeah. and forth, back and forth. And eventually it was just like enough. And then you start that night talking to your mom and sister. And mm-hmm. I think you're really going to do it now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you... I think you just say you're going to move out. You tell them for real. And I could just tell that you were getting beat up pretty bad. You know, they're really mad at me. They're ganging up on me. And that's when I just said, you know what? I have to get involved. And so I say, Mom, I have to just go over there and we have to work this out, because I can't keep going back and forth about she's moving in. Everything's fine. Everything's bad. Margie's mad. Mom's mad. You know, it's just enough's enough. I'm going to go over there. And so, listeners, I get my little butt in my car and I start driving.
Leaving your mom, who just came to visit like 2 days ago, just arrived.
And my goal is to go and, I guess, heroically rescue my damsel in distress in the house. And so, next segment begins the meeting. All right, Jane, before we get into the meeting, maybe we should talk about your sister a little bit and some signs that she might be toxic in your relationship.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I feel a new segment coming on.
And it's called
Michael Asks Jane About Her Sister.
Wow, 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 wow.
Okay, Michael, shoot. I'm an open book.
Wow. All right, we've got this article from Bustle.com about 8 signs your siblings are toxic. And we'll see if Margie passes the toxicity test at the end. And we'll make a call at the end whether you think Margie
is safe or not safe.
Exactly. Number one on the list, and as Jane likes to coin, in no particular order.
Number one.
We have, they're manipulative. Would you say that Margie is a manipulator?
I would say no.
Why do you say no?
I don't think she's gone out of her way to manipulate a situation ever to her advantage. There's never been... Wait a minute. You're giving me looks. What are you saying?
Hawaii?
Okay, well, that's different.
Or she manipulated a situation
to
her advantage.
Okay, this is about what Jane thinks of her sister.
Or the happy hours I couldn't go to.
Or... Yeah, so definitely non-manipulative.
Okay, let's go to number two.
All right.
They're overly critical. What do you think about Margie's criticalness on you?
I would say it's overly. Yes. Okay. I'm going to agree here.
How so?
I don't know if it's because I'm the younger sibling, but she's very critical of, as you know, recently I've taken up cooking. We talked about it in episode six. Yeah. And every time she comes over to our house, I mean, the hovering is still there. She tastes it and it's so salty for her. My mom's not going to like it, when in fact my mom is totally fine with it.
Yeah, I just want to like grab Margie and just say, hey, why don't you come outside with me and just give you some space in the kitchen. All right, number three, they blame others.
That I'm not sure she is. She's the blaming type.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen her push blame away from herself. I mean, she's usually acts very knowledgeable on everything when sometimes she's not. But I think if she was wrong and she knew it for the most part, I think she would own it. But Maybe, maybe not. I don't know that she would.
I don't know if that really has applied to her, you know. So.
All right, number four, they never show remorse.
This could go, I think, either way. There are times where I do feel like she takes on a little bit of my mom's personality and that she's always right. She knows what's best. She knows everything, as you mentioned a little bit ago. She seems to be an expert in everything. I don't, in our relationship overall, I don't recall her saying sorry very much for things that, you know.
So you're agreeing that she more or less doesn't show remorse.
I would say I usually show it first and then she'll show it. So it's never the forthcoming with her remorse.
Yeah, I think I mentioned in a previous episode, the Hawaii episode, where I never really felt that I got a genuine apology from her. Mm-hmm. She did apologize, but, and maybe it was genuine for her, but in feeling that apology, it didn't feel apologetic to me. All right, number five, you're always exhausted around them.
Well, I know how you feel about this, but okay. I will say I don't really feel exhausted around her. I feel that, to be honest, since moving out and not living with her anymore, my relationship has gotten better on my end. I know she wishes I still lived with her every day, but I feel definitely less exhausted with not having to be with her 24/7. And I feel like when I see her, it's nice to catch up. It's very positive. We can talk about, you know, things that we haven't caught up on. And so maybe before it was a little more exhausting, but now for me, at least, it's not, because I think we can catch up in a more positive way with the distance.
You guys are almost in reconstruction after the Civil War, if you will. And we had to have this big war, but now everybody's kind of in reconstruction mode. To address my exhaustion around here, I think it mostly stems from the dogs. We both have dogs.
Yeah.
And when they come over, they have this very yappy dog, and our dog is not perfect and antagonizes a bit, but it's just very exhausting to have dogs kind of barking the whole time. Right. And I get very tired, and maybe I associate that with her. So
she knows best. So she's like, just let them be violent.
Yeah. All right. Number six, they betray your confidence.
Now that I know for sure she would not do. You know, she was somebody I could open up to, and I still open up to her, you know, if it's stuff about our family or anything like that. She's actually really good at holding in secrets. She's pretty like a lock and key type of person. So she's very good to keep secrets with, I think.
Yeah, I can't see of any place where she's betrayed my trust in any way. So I think she's actually pretty good there.
Yep.
All right, number seven, they actively undermine your relationships. Well, before you get started, I would say almost an entire podcast was dedicated to this. So I'm thinking, what do you think?
You know what? I think that's all that needs to be said. Moving on, the last one.
The last one is they ignore or ostracize you.
You know, I wish she would ignore me more. Because I feel like she just notices everything that I do. It goes back to the overly critical part of her. Yes, and always, why don't you do everything? Why don't you do anything with me? Why aren't you hanging out with me? Why don't you do it? I just feel like, please ignore me.
I would say you guys don't hang out that often, though. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's definitely...
I hung out with her for 28 years of my life, so...
I would say she ostracized me in an effort to keep you closer. Mm-hmm. And so she definitely... loves you and sometimes has a hard ability to show it appropriately.
Yeah.
And I think that's a challenge.
I guess I would agree with that, yeah.
And I think overall, and maybe I'm doing too much reconstructing of her image on the podcast here, but I do think overall there's a good person in there that's just been, your mom is a lot, mm-hmm. and she's kind of been warped into that ideal. And it really affects her ability to kind of grow in her own life.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes out in her insecurities when she deals with us and stuff like that.
Right.
And so I really wish she could just break free, much the same that you did, and really get the ick off her of being kind of closed up in a house all the time and mm-hmm. move on with her life a little bit.
I agree.
And I think that ends our little segment.
Wow. Let's hear it for... our fans.
I think we only have one fan this time.
Oh.
So let's hear from our fan.
So it's time, Michael.
What is it time for?
It's time to get into it.
Get into what?
Well, the meeting.
Ooh, okay. So we left off from the first segment that I got in my car, but I wanted to show a peace offering when I got there. And I know your family really loves chicken noodle soup.
Well, my mom loves your chicken noodle soup in particular.
And I wanted to bring something as a show of like, I'm trying to be here and a good person before I drive. So
no flowers, no chocolates here, just a bag of frozen chicken noodle soup.
That's correct. And I just made it the other night. So it's relatively fresh. So, you know, it was
right.
not like old soup that I got out of the Mm-mm. freezer. We just made it. Get in the car, go in there, and I get to your place because, you know, I've just basically had enough of this, and mm-hmm. we're going to either, this is either going to go well or it's going to go poorly, but it's been 2 weeks now and nothing's progressed, and I just felt like obligated to get involved. I walk in the door and
Sorry, before you move on, I did want to say that my mom actually has asked to talk to you. And I think that's what I had been texting you before, too. It's like, my mom wants to talk to you, but then it would change. You know, she doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Well, you know what? Maybe it's better if you talked with her. And finally, you were like, I'm just going to go fucking talk to her.
Yeah, I had enough. There was so much inconsistency with everything that was going on. Once it's good, it's hot, it's cold, it's mm-hmm. warm. It's just all over the place.
Okay.
You just need a goddamn date. And, I mean, it didn't matter at this point what happened. I was just... She's either going to move in or it's not going to work. I don't know mm-hmm. what we're doing here. And so I come in, I give the chicken noodle soup, and I remember feeling everything was very oddly normal when I walked. They're like, hi, what's going on? How are you? And about 60 seconds of that, and I just wanted to quit the bullshit. I'm like, we should all talk. And that's when everything kind of flipped
mm-hmm.
because I was fine with a few cordial things at the beginning, but I said, let's get to it. And why don't you talk about the seating arrangement?
So in my mom's house, there are two couches that face each other, and in the middle is the coffee table. Her and my sister decide to sit on one couch, and you and I decide to sit on the other couch. Now, the weird part is that my dad is in the bedroom watching like a football game or whatever basketball game because he's not even involved in this at all.
How does that make you feel? I guess you've got your sister and mother are going to be heavily engaged in combat with us, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about your dad basically saying, nah, I'm good?
My mom would always tell me like,
your dad is actually not good with all of this, but I can't trust him to speak for with his feelings, what he's feeling, because everything seems to be good when he gets in front of you and says everything's fine and he's happy for you. But when he's alone with me, he actually has the same feelings. So I'm just not even going to involve him.
That's crazy. I just think to like our future children, you know, there's no way I would be sidelined on any sort of family discussion like that. And nor would I want you to be sidelined either. I mean, we have to be together in a team, which I remember sitting there going, is your dad home? In my brain, I didn't say that, mm-hmm. but like, why is your father not involved in this conversation at all?
Yeah, my mom has shut him out.
Okay, so we all sit down and I just say, what's going on? What is the big deal? And it's you and your mom across the couch and me and you on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And you are pretty distraught at this point. Your mom looks relatively emotional and Margie's pretty stoic, just mm-hmm. kind of sitting there. And I'm just going, like, what's going on here? I mean, we're engaged. She's supposed to move in. Mm-hmm. And then what do they say?
I think my mom starts off with,
well, that's just it. You know, you guys just want to move in and we think it's not appropriate. What's the rush? You guys aren't getting married yet. You're only engaged, which means our time is already limited with Jane. So you, once you marry her and you get her forever.
So now I'm like this object, right? I feel like I'm not even a person anymore. It's just you get her and we only get her for like a custody battle at this point.
Yeah, I remember initially, you know, I wanted to go in there basically just to support you and your decision. And so I just go to you, Jane, and we're all sitting on the couch, right? Jane, is this what you want? I mean, if you don't want to move out, that's fine. Tell me and tell them. But if you do want to move out, you need to tell them that you need to move out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm very hopeful that we're still on the same page with everything. And at some point you kind of have to just throw your risk out there and hope that your significant other kind of catches you mm-hmm. when you kind of get vulnerable and say, you know, are you still with me here? Mm-hmm. And you did. You held the line completely. You said it. I mean, you said it with conviction. You said, I want to move out. This is what I want to do. I want to move out with him.
And I think we even had the date of like mid-January.
Right.
Like you and I were going back and forth. Let's just do it before I leave for Hawaii.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, our Hawaii trip with my cousin's wedding was coming up. I know we touched on that before a little bit on a couple of the other episodes in the past, but this all happened actually before Hawaii. And we thought, you know, let's get you moved in. This is going to be our goal date. Let's just say, I forget, but it was like January 15th or something, mid-January.
And that was even a compromise between us. Because right. I wanted you to move in the next day when we got mm-hmm. engaged, which was clearly not what was going to happen.
Right. So basically, my mom is not receptive of this date. She thinks it's too soon. That's like in a week.
So we only get her for one more week? You're taking my child away from me.
Yeah, your mom's whole account of this was basically I was coming in, swooping you away, and she'd never see you again. And, you know, it's not crazy for a mom to say that their daughter is their most prized possession. But I was like, she's not a thing. You know, she's mm-hmm. your daughter who's allowed to make her own choices in life. And I remember culture was thrown in my face
mm-hmm.
a lot. It's
right.
not our culture to do that. And I kept going, what about my culture? You know, it's one thing to accept your culture. Why can't you accept my culture, too? You know, I mean. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I want to bulldoze everything that you guys do culturally or whatever, but, you know, I still have needs and wants and things that I would like out of my own life. And, you know, if it were up to me, she would have moved in June.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, I'm already compromising a lot. And now we're even pushing back this engagement. And so we're starting to cross some internal lines in my own brain. Like, this is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
If this doesn't move forward. And at no point did you signal to me that you weren't going to move forward with anything. It was just a matter of this process that we both had to go through together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of weight.
And what was my sister's response to you? Do you remember? Because there was a reason she was sitting there next to my mom. And at first I thought maybe, you know, my mom doesn't speak English as well as she'd like to. She's not very expressive as much as she'd like to be in English. So sometimes some Tagalog will come out, and there were times where Margie will kind of translate. But what were some key points that you remember came out of my sister's mouth?
One of the biggest things that I remember was she talked about rules. And I'm like, what rules? And she was referring to the rules that you and your sister have about going out and not staying over, and these high school like rules that your mom instilled in you guys
mm-hmm.
that never changed no matter how old you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were still supposed to be home. You weren't supposed to stay over. You're not supposed to drink.
Mm-hmm.
All those things were off limits. And I said, what rules? I have no rules that apply to me. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. this is about my life too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane wants to move. I just go to Jane, do you want to move? I mean, if not, you know, I can leave and we can move on and whatever. But I mean, if you want to move, which we've talked about, which is something you wanted to do.
By move on, listeners, I don't think you mean like ending our relationship.
No, but I mean, it would definitely be a lot of weight if you would have said,
right,
I don't want to move in. I mean,
you weren't like giving me an ultimatum, whether
No. Yeah. I guess maybe I'm setting it up that way. But, you know, I do think, though, if you would have dropped the ball in a way where you wouldn't have held the line and like we would have been back in purgatory,
mm-hmm.
that would have been something that would have been hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it would have been a long conversation that we would have to figure something out.
Right.
Because there would have been a lot of promises made that weren't kept.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was really boiling over. And so if that would have occurred that way, I don't know. I mean, it would have been bad.
Yeah,
I
agree.
You're just being honest.
I agree. And I knew what was on the line.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I've spent a lot of, you know, our dating life not really fighting for us and kind of going along with, you know, my family's wants.
Yeah.
And kind of putting them first, including not even bringing you to Hawaii.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, maybe in a way it kind of was an ultimatum. I mean, I think if I would have been surprised by your answers there, and because like all the stuff that's happened before, it would have meant your family is going to win forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been such, because we talked before, we had this plan, you were on the same page, you wanted to move in. It was just big, bad family.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have gone the other way and you were no way, you were very stonewalled, stoic, this is what I want to do the whole mm-hmm. time. But if it would have went the other way where you were kind of waffly and mm-hmm. back and forth and I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
That would have been a lot of weight to deal with that we would have really would have had to unpack. And, you know, all of those promises that we made, that would have been a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And then my sister, I remember, even asked you,
do you only propose to her so you can move in?
Oh, yeah. I said, yeah. And I was like, what is a proposal supposed to be? I want to live with her for the rest of my life. I love her. Is what I said. You know, it's like, of course that's what I did. Like, I think she was trying to set me up and I just said, yep, that's what I want to do. Why wouldn't I do that? I just looked at her and went, what do you get married to do? Like, what's the point? I don't want to be, I don't want to live 14 blocks away from her anymore. I want to be with her all the time. That's why I'm here. You know, it's like the point of this meeting was to get the person I love and start a life with her. It wasn't about fighting them or anything. I mean, they were in the way, so we got to do what we got to do. But at the end of the day, it was about, yeah, of course, I want to live with her. What do you want? What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Would it be worse if I said no?
Yeah, I think that was, she was caught off guard by that answer, too.
I just went right through it, like, of course.
Yeah. And so this continued on for probably, you would say, maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was
minutes.
Probably an hour, and it kind of just kicks the same stuff back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not respecting us and our culture and the rules. And mm-hmm. I said, she's 27. She can do what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's strange about it, and I guess maybe you can address this, I would say it was more of a discussion between myself, your mom and sister than it was between both of us and your mom and sister.
Mm-hmm.
What were you feeling in that moment? Did you just feel pulled at both ends? Talk about what your thoughts were in that meeting.
I mean, in that moment, I just felt so beat up. You know, it was emotionally a lot for me that day. And the fact that you had to be there and finally speak to my mom after going back and forth with her, like,
no, I don't want to talk to him. Oh, I do want to talk to him. You know what? Bring him in. No, you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't want to talk to him.
So it was back and forth that whole freaking day with her. So in my mind, it's almost, it's ridiculous that you even have to be there. But my God, did it show how much you really loved me and you really wanted to be with me? And I think one of the silver linings in all of this challenge that we went through is that I really knew that I was worth it for you.
Yeah,
that you were serious. Because I mean, not very many people would do this kind of stuff for their significant other if they had had it so easy.
Yeah, it was definitely with all the culture and stuff. I don't know if it's Filipino culture or just the environment in which your mom created. I mean, dating you was tough,
mm-hmm.
not the person. The person was awesome. But dating you in the environment in which you lived was very difficult. I mean, you couldn't come over and stay over. I mean, we couldn't really party at places because you didn't want to come home with any alcohol or you didn't want to be drunk or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't go on like trips or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you always had to be home by a certain time. I mean, it was very difficult as when we dated 28 to 30 year old person to have all these unexpected, almost juvenile rules
mm-hmm.
to have to go through. But I mean, at the end of the day, it was totally worth it, and it was worth it all. But it wasn't easy.
For sure. So like we were saying, this went on for probably, you know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour, kind of back and forth, my mom trying to state her case. I remember at one point it got a little escalated where with my sister, and she actually ended up having to like stop her because she got so like passionate about something. I forget what it was, but I remember it was almost attacky.
Yeah,
in a way with you.
I never raised my voice over there or anything, mm-hmm. but I know you could tell your sister wanted to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking just like I'm talking to you
mm-hmm.
right now. You know, I was just thinking back to my teaching. It's when you're with a hostile student, it's not a good idea to meet them at their level. You want to try to bring it down. Mm-hmm. And so maybe my teacher training helped me there a little bit. But like you said, it kept going round and round. And finally, I just went, look, I we're just going in circles. There's not a lot I can do. Mm-hmm. I love your daughter. I want her to live with me. And then I remember, and I think this mattered a lot, I got up, I hugged them both, and I tell your mom, I can't wait till you're my mother-in-law. Gave her a big hug, and then I hugged Margie. I can't wait till you're my sister-in-law. And then I said, Jane, just come see me in the car.
Yeah, I was going to walk you out. Yeah.
I think you said you'd come see me. Mm-hmm. And so I leave, and so then it's your mom, sister, and yourself. What do you guys talk about?
I think my mom was just really mostly trying to recollect herself, and she's starting to understand a little bit more that this is mostly, it's what I want, and you weren't the person who was pulling me away. It was what you and me want together, and it's not me being influenced by you. It's me really just wanting to start a new life now. I told her, you've raised me so well. You know, I'm ready now to be on my own because, you know, you've shielded me here. I wouldn't say shielded, but you've raised me here in such a great environment. And I'm ready to just move forward. And it's not because I hate you. It's because I want you to see what you've raised. And, you know, to her, it's just like,
I'm just going to lose you. You hate me.
But by the end of it, she was starting to calm down. And then I was like, I'm going to go talk to Michael. He's in the car. You were in your car.
Basically, I don't know if you ever forgot this, but they were basically ready to negotiate a date. Because when I came back in, we were negotiating. So what did you guys talk about to negotiate a date? Because when I came in, we were talking dates.
I think we had talked about Hawaii. But I do remember getting in your car and letting you know how much I love you. And I appreciate so much what you did. And that I think, you know, my family is ready to talk with you about me moving in and have a date set. And I said, it's probably going to be, you know, after my Hawaii trip with Margie.
I remember going back in and saying, I hear things are a little bit better. What do you want to talk to me? Mm-hmm. And so they say, okay, we understand what's going on. How about April? And I go, April, what are you talking about? April, it's January. It's December. And I go, there's no way it's going to be April.
I don't think she says April. I think she says March.
What? It was forever.
Yeah, that's
and long. I was just not having it. And I go, look, I mean, we're getting engaged. It's got to be January. And then we kind of kick it around. And then Hawaii comes up. Mm-hmm. And she goes, okay, how about after Hawaii? The weekend after Hawaii.
Okay.
And I go, fine. That's fine. But there was a date struck. It was set. And we moved on from there. And I remember hugging them. Mm-hmm. And the job was done. It wasn't really what I wanted. It wasn't really what they wanted. But they say the best deals are made when both people are a little uncomfortable. And so I think
it was February 1st was the date struck.
Yes.
Fresh month, fresh start.
Right. And so that's kind of how it ended. And we'll talk about the transition between you moving out, but yeah, we made
it through with only very minor bruises by the end.
Yeah, I thought it could go a lot worse mm-hmm. than it did. I actually thought it went a little better than I expected it to mm-hmm. because I wasn't really sure of the hostility they would show to me. I mean, they're pretty used to beating you up, but I wasn't sure exactly what gloves they were going to bring to the fight with me. And they were really relatively respectful. They never really personally attacked me. You could tell, like, at times Margie wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really come at me.
Yeah. And I think because things had been going so well, they realized you left your mom at home in your apartment.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Michael's hoping I spend time with your mom as well. And my mom was like, yeah, why don't you go, you know, go see them, spend some time with them, and we'll talk when you get back.
Yeah.
So she was very calm after that. And I think you're right. It wasn't what she wanted, but I think knowing that it was a compromise for both of you guys was, you know, okay with her.
And that concludes the meeting.
Well, listeners, we hope you enjoyed the meeting. How do they keep in touch with us, Jane?
Well, Michael, they can follow us on Instagram as always. Follow us on @millennial_marriage_podcast or send us an email. You know, we have email going on. Did you know that, Michael?
I've heard it's been around since the 90s.
Wow. Well, if you guys have forgotten since the 90s, it's mmpodcast.az@gmail.com.
And with that, Shway, take us out.
See you next Thursday.